You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Coolest radio show in the world. It's a fact. You know it. President evidently going to get impeached. I haven't really been following that. But, normally that doesn't really work that well, especially with a Republican-controlled Senate. So, here's a question. Did he just get reelected? Because, you know, that tends to do to the Republican people that vote. They turn out in bigger numbers. So, I don't know. I'm not paying very close attention to, but... Let me tell you, but the 24-hour news networks, man, they are losing their collective minds over it. Yeah. So, as I've gone by the TV, right, they have everybody in the world on those things now. So, Nancy Pelosi, evidently, what is she, I don't know, she caved in or the hue and cry just got too much because she was opposed to this to begin with. Historically, it doesn't work out very well. I don't know. But anyway, and I'm not paying very close attention to it. I've got bigger fish to fry. All right. I've got bigger fish to fry. I'm trying to save the universe. Yeah. I'm like fucking Spider-Man. Except cooler, not as weird. Hello. So, good morning on a Wednesday. I had the occasion to go to dinner with Mike Marletto last night down in San Clemente. Went to my favorite restaurant. He didn't know that when we set it up, but there's a restaurant called Nick's in San Clemente, my favorite restaurant, and it's on Del Mar Street. Which is right on the main drag in San Clemente, which is my favorite town. Yep. San Clemente still retains its beach feel. And, kind of a small town, kind of a deal. So, went down there. Me, my bad back and all, got my ass into the car and headed down to San Clemente yesterday at about 3:55. And you know, they've done some improvements to the interstate down there. Yeah. We would call it a freeway in California, but everybody else calls it the interstate. So, yeah. And now there used to be constant traffic in the San Clemente, San Juan Capistrano area, especially like in the late afternoon. None. I zipped down there like it was cool. Yeah. So, I had dinner with Mike. I met Mike through All Marine Radio. He and I had served at the same time, and he's a little bit senior to me, and I had heard about him. When we went to Iraq in 2004, he had been the commanding officer of 11th Marines, and I think the story was that he was dealing with some family stuff. His wife actually had cancer, and so I heard his name. I believe he was the chief of staff of the division rear. And so, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I had dinner with Mike. And so Mike listened to All Marine Radio, and a couple years ago, sent me an email one day out of the blue from Mike Marletto. And I'm like, when I saw it, I was like, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. And he told me, he said he loved the idea and enjoyed the podcast and keep up the good work. And I was like, I was the happiest kid in the kingdom that day because I had heard so many good things about him. And he's a baseball fan, Dodger fan, but I don't hold that against him. Even though he did show up in a Dodger shirt last night, I was like, what the hell, man? He's trying to intimidate me or provoke me, one of the two. So, but no, I went down to San Clemente at Nick's. Now, there's two Nick's restaurants, yeah, within a block. One is called Nick's, and the other one's called Nick's South. So we did not go to Nick's South. We went to Nick's. And, had a great time at dinner last night. And my bad back and all. I don't know. I think my back is getting a little bit better. I'm not sure, though. This is the longest it's ever been like that. So I'm a little bit concerned. But I had done, like, I'd stayed off my feet and all that as much as I could. So, yesterday afternoon, I said, you know what, enough of this. Let me get on the treadmill and do some work. So, I think that helped. Although, I'm not sure. I have no idea. We'll see today, though, if it's any better. So, I got up this morning, got on the treadmill right away. And, it feels a little bit better, and then I took a bunch of aspirin, which will mask all the symptoms, so anyway, president all over the news. I've got a couple emails, though. I'd like to see, I've been reluctant, I don't know what the right word, I've been delinquent in my shithole weather duties, I apologize for that, and because of the recording of the show, that throws things off a bit. Yeah, so, you know, yeah, accept my apologies for that, and I will make amends for that today. I don't know if I can make amends, but I will certainly do better today. I've already got updates from Massachusetts, from Saskatchewan. I don't have anything from Vacaville yet. And I don't have anything from Montana yet. So if you want to send me your shithole weather update, get it in. Alright? Get it in. I got an email about Frankel Radio. All Frankel Radio. I'm geeking out here. True soul food. Thank you. Let me just tell you, I think, right, and this is my honest opinion, I listen to Frankel, I'm like, the dude, like, he solved X. Yeah, he solved for X. And he says some stuff, and I played some of the audio yesterday, but he says some stuff that is, like, that's pretty amazing in terms of how true it is. And so I've taken to making notes as I listen. And what you do is you create a bookmark and then it says, do you want to make a note? And then I make a note and I just put in what he's talking about. right? He talks about freedom, right? And the problem of freedom, right? All that discretion, right? Freedom is but half the story and part of the truth. The other half is responsibility. That's why, if it were in his power, he would have the United States construct a statue of responsibility on the West Coast to balance out the Statue of Liberty on the East Coast. You hear that, you're like, whoa, we're in the deep end of the pool, right? We're in the deep end of the pool. And then he says this thing, you know, because he's in this, I think, constant debate with Freudian people that say, you know, we're slaves to our animal instincts. In fact, at one point, he doesn't actually take Freud to task, but he said, I wish Freud says, you know, when reduced to your animal instincts, we all behave the same. And he said, not true. In Auschwitz, you know, he says, and he does kind of get his dig into Freud. He said, you know, Freud did his research with people reclining on leather couches. I did mine in Auschwitz. And when we were all reduced to hunger, the differences did not go away. They became more stark. Those who behaved like animals behaved like animals. Those who behaved with great nobility behaved with great nobilities. And you're listening to it going, whoa, that's more deep end of the pool. But hold on, I left the window open, and there's airplanes outside. So hold on one second. I'm back. It's longer than a second because it takes me 2 seconds to stand the fuck up. So anyway, then he read some, and I did this yesterday in the Frankel 30 minutes that I did. But then he reads letters from prisoners talking about how full their lives are now that they've discovered meaning in their life, and that meaning is helping other prisoners. But one of the things that he talks about is he goes on to talk about the crumbling of life's infrastructure and unhappiness. I love that. Because man has all this discretionary time and no purpose. And then he makes this great, great comment where he says, men will die for meaning, something that has meaning for them, no matter their circumstances. They can be rich, they can be poor, but they will die for something they believe in. And without something to believe in, no matter their circumstances, whether they be the wealthiest people on the planet, they'll commit suicide. Right? The case for needing a purpose in life. Right? Then he talks about, one of the other things he talks about, and it's a great line, and he's talking about Austria's prime minister making comments about mental health and things like that. And the line is, man does not live by welfare alone. That's right. You got to have some peanut butter. So, Frankel, man, he solved for X. Give people a purpose and watch how their lives change. So anyway, I've been listening to his stuff, and I honestly, it's hard for me to believe that people who listen to this, I mean, where are they in the DOD? Where are they in the DOD? And the other thing I'll tell you is, look, they come into the military looking for purpose, right? They want to serve. And we're and the DOD is failing them by not giving them that which they sought. Because of poor leadership, because of being afraid, and for a ton of other reasons. So, anyway, I just, Nancy geeking out on, Nancy in Western Pennsylvania geeking out on post-traumatic, Frankel. And you can find a bunch of this stuff. I mean, he lived to be almost 100. And so you can find him speaking at different things. And there's a guy named Jerry Long who broke his neck when he was 17 in a diving accident, dove into a shallow body of water, broke his neck. And he talks about, you know, the growth he's experienced. And he's interviewed with Viktor Frankl. And he says, look, I broke my neck. My neck didn't break me. And that's how I've looked at it. And you hear that and you're like, wow. And he says, I don't know that I would have ever achieved the growth I've achieved as a human being without the challenges placed in front of me. And I don't know that I would have touched all the lives and changed all the lives I've changed without that, which has been put in front of me. So it's, to me, it's incredibly interesting and compelling stuff. And I'll tell you what, and if it was true when Frankl was, you know, was doing this, I mean, he started in the 30s. He's doing it before World War II. His professional life takes him into the 70s and 80s. And, good God. So 1930s to 1980s, that's 50 years plus of his professional life. And he's still, you know, he's still writing and talking and impacting the discussion. And if the things he said were true in the 70s, in my opinion, they're even more true today, because what he was talking about was the loss of infrastructure in our lives, the loss of, you know, you're not needed anymore. In terms of you don't need to produce your own food, you don't go to church anymore, all these structural things that gave you purpose and meaning and a community. I was even talking yesterday, Mike Marletta and I were talking. He's a hockey player. So we were talking about hockey, and I was talking about living up in North Dakota. I said, you know, one of the great collateral benefits was when we moved to North Dakota, the city had just had a flood that destroyed the downtown and did all kinds of damage to the flood, to the city. So we were like the only five people to move there in 1998. Yeah, everybody else looked like Field of Dreams going the other way. But we moved there. So our kids grew up listening to stories of the flood and the things that, you know, they let out the high school and the high school sandbag. But they weren't a part of it. And the first time that that happened subsequent, when the high schools got let out and they got to go sandbag, they were so excited. And one of the cool things that happens, right, the high school kids go down to the river, right, and they've got the sandbag machines down there, and they've got, you know, they've got this whole kind of assembly line thing that they do. And it's part of the city's, you know, operational plan. You know, how to organize the students, and then, you know, how to get them involved in it, and where they go, what they do, and all that. So they come back and they're filthy, right? Because they're piling wet sandbags down by the river. So they're just filthy from head to toe. And so they'd be getting gas or getting something to eat, right? And people that had been working all day see that. And what do you think they do? They buy their gas. Hey, thank you for what you did today. Or they buy their food. And they come home and they tell you these stories. But what happened was they felt needed. They felt important to the community. They felt this link that my kids hadn't felt before. And they were so excited because, yeah, that we're a part of this. I tell a story about I was on the city council, and we had a blizzard. And it was the winter of 2006, because I'd come home from Iraq, and we were living on University Avenue. And standing in the kitchen, my phone rings. Hello? Mr. McNamara? I said, yes. I'm one of the people in your ward. I said, hi, what's your name? And she told me her name. She said, I have a problem. I said, okay. She said, my husband has a bad heart, and I'm trying to get him to the hospital because he has an appointment. And the snowplows just came by, and they stacked like 4 feet of ice and snow in front of my driveway, and I can't get out. She said, who can I call? What can I do? I said, well, you don't need to call anybody else. I said, I'll be over there in 5 minutes, and I'll get you out of there. She said, okay, thank you. So I hung up the phone. I look at Patrick. I said, come on, stud, time for you to be a man. Time for you to be a man. He said, what? I said, grab your jacket. We gotta go help somebody. So Patrick did. And we grabbed the snowblower and put it in the back of the truck and went over to this lady's house. She lived maybe four blocks from us. And got the snowblower down, and the shovels, introduced Patrick. I went in the garage and talked to she and her husband, and Patrick did all the heavy work. We had the shovel, kind of shovel, one lane through the snow, and then he used the snowplow and did everything else till she could get her car through. And she and he were just so appreciative and thanking Patrick profusely and me, but he did all the work. But we're driving home, the four-block drive, and he just looked at me and goes, that's pretty cool. And so, to me, what Frankl has solved for is all of our need to belong, to feel a part of something, to feel that purpose that those kind of experiences give you. And I'm shocked that as an organization that's committed to service is somehow trying to treat people in some other way, and that this isn't obvious to them. So, anywho, just a few thoughts on that today. Yeah, so if you're going to get me your shithole weather update, you better hurry. All right, tell you what we're going to do today. I was emailed in the last couple weeks. I've had probably four or five people send me a link and said, hey, we need to listen to this. And it's a United States Naval Institute, Loy Institute interview or conversation with General John Kelly. It's done at the Coast Guard Academy. The person interviewing him is General Thad Allen of the Coast Guard. I believe General Admiral Allen was a four-star admiral, and so he interviews John Kelly. And so we're going to listen to that here in a little bit after we check some news headlines. So, good morning to you. Audiobooks, I'd recommend them. Yeah. Like, when I get done here today, as opposed to listening to music, I'll put on all Viktor Frankl radio and listen to that. And then I'll go back to the Hanoi Hilton. I'm going to listen to John McCain's book. So I'll listen to that and see. I'm a little bit curious to see if McCain focuses on the experience or his political or whatnot. So I'm kind of curious to see how John McCain wrote that book, being the dashing, flamboyant figure that he was in life. So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official. Good morning. Honestly, good morning. Dedicated to Mike Marletto, who encouraged me very early into this thing. And who I had dinner with last night. I'd never met Mike. And so we correspond through email. He does a bit of traveling, but dedicated to the encouragement that he provided me. And to all the other Arty officers, right, who know that I'm in the inner sanctum now that Marletto and I have had dinner. Yeah, piss off to all of you. So, yeah, with all that in mind, dinner was awesome.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You know what just occurred to me is post-traumatic winning is doing what Jack Riley talks about. You know, we've got to care. We've got to care about everybody in our country. And that's what it does. I like that. Yeah, boom. Just made me happy. All right, currently in Quantico, Virginia, cloudy in 75. Camp Lejeune, sunny in 81. 29 Palms, partly sunny and 74. Camp Pendleton, cloudy in 66. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloud. I don't even need to look at it. Dark cloudy in 73. The number I need to look at. Okinawa, dark cloudy 77. They both cooled off. In Al Anbar and Ramadi, clear evening and 95. In Lashkar Gah, in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, clear dark in 86. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is currently cloudy and 70 degrees. Looking for a high of 82 today. 77 tomorrow and 74 on Friday. I love that. Cooling trend. Yeah, that makes me happy. Makes me happy that I live up to things that Jack Riley talks about. Because let me tell you, you want to meet a great guy? Go find Jack Riley and have a conversation with him. In fact, you know, I need to get him back on the air. Every time I call him, he's busy though. Like, what the hell? How do all these retired people get so busy? I don't really understand it. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check the news. At the top of the hour, you're going to hear a conversation with John Kelly. Pretty interesting about leadership, right? He's speaking at the Coast Guard Academy. So, don't touch that dial. I promise you. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career? Or a career? Or a career? Or a career? Or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global...
What was that? Uh-oh. Hackers. Somebody's in my shit.
Opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. how do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean.
8:38 on a Wednesday.
Go of all hope and hope you made. Of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
Davis.
But I know it's just me, alone on this earth.
How about this? Speaking of pain, right?
Cigarette burn.
You can endure any pain as long as you have a purpose.
It hurts.
Like using your pain to help other people. Kaboom! Frankel inspires me. I had no idea what I was doing. Right? Anyway. Alright, time for us to check the news. The, hold on, I'll get my act together. Don't, then let's everybody stay in their lane, okay? The some interesting stories today in DoD news, so we'll do that, and then we'll check other stuff. The all right. The first story is Navy's investigating a shooting death of a Marine sentry at a Georgia submarine base. He's a sergeant. Sergeant Derek Diesel, D-I-E-S-E-L, 25, died of a gunshot wound to the head while posted as an armed sentry at Naval Submarine Base Kings Bay, according to a military mishap report cited by the Marine Corps Times on Wednesday. He joined the Marine Corps in 2014, was assigned to Marine Corps Security Force Regiment, tasked with guarding the sub-base. The facility is described on its website as the East Coast home of the Ohio-class submarine. NCIS is investigating the death, the report said. His obituary on the Florida-based funeral home website states that he was born in Manhasset, New York, and attended VMI before joining the Marine Corps. He was married and had a 2-year-old daughter. He was a hard-working, passionate leader, both at home and throughout the service in the Marine Corps. Loved his family and friends and country. His hobbies include spending time with his wife and daughter, working on their house, cars, and motorcycle. He was a member of the Rival Motorcycle Club and enjoyed riding with his brothers in the club. He died August 18th, 2018. This happened at Pendleton where ultimately NCIS concluded it was a suicide. And the family said, yeah, we don't believe it. Story that you read in the news on a relatively regular basis is Army is proposing restricting eligibility for burial at Arlington National Cemetery. It's a space issue. Under rules now, most veterans and military retirees are eligible for either above or below ground burial at Arlington. The Army will begin a month-long rulemaking process to change that criteria. The Army proposed restricting below-ground burial to service members killed in action, Purple Heart recipients, former prisoners of war, presidents and vice presidents, combat veterans who were awarded the Silver Star or above, service members who had combat-related deaths, and combat veterans who also served as government officials and made significant contributions to the nation's security at the highest levels of public service. There's a little bit of discretion in that one. Arlington also would reserve 1,000 burial plots for Medal of Honor recipients. Under the proposed changes, above ground interment would be available to World War II veterans, armed forces retirees, combat veterans who served at least 2 years on active duty, and veterans without combat service who worked as government officials and contributed to national security. I could be buried at Arlington. A spokesman for the cemetery said the Army couldn't comment on the details of the proposed criteria until they were posted to the Federal Register. The rulemaking process is expected to take at least 9 months. The hard reality is we're running out of space, said Karen Durham Aguilera, director of the cemetery. To keep Arlington National Cemetery open and active well into the future means that we have to make some tough decisions and restrict the eligibility. I did not realize that that eligibility was that broad. I thought they had already restricted it a fair amount. Another story. Some of these stories are amazing. Ex-Army Reserve civilian stole more than $400,000 from a unit and is now sentenced to prison. Ramon Torrey of Irvine, California, admitted guilt in a plea agreement to charges of wire fraud and theft of government money in a scheme related to creating a public service announcement for the 63rd Regional Support Command at Moffett Field in Mountain View, California. along with time behind bars, U.S. District Court Judge Beth Labson Freeman in the Northern District of California's San Jose Division also sentenced Torrey to 3 years supervised release and ordered him to pay $302,982.29 in restitution, forfeiture the same amount, according to the release. Between December of 2015 and October of 2017, while employed as a manpower analyst with command, Torrey devised a scheme to steal money from the unit through a contract for the creation of a public service announcement touting the command's accomplishments. In February 2016, Torrey began creating fake invoices for work allegedly performed by the California production company hired for the public service announcement, as well as for the training and other services that were never performed, according to the release. Torrey then directed others in the command to make payments to the company contracted to produce the announcement by government purchase card and wire payments. Torrey directed payments from the unit to the production company totaling $414,000. He then directed an unnamed person at the production company to kick back to him more than $300,000 of those funds. What the hell? Here's another weird story. I guess I don't understand. Electricity bills for some Navy housing residents to increase 68% in Hawaii. I thought when you lived in base housing, you know, you forfeited your, you know, BAH, and that was it. You didn't get any bills. I guess I don't understand how it works anymore. Right? I guess I don't understand how it works anymore. All right. The place where we find hard news, where hard news lives, USNI News. That's right, where hard news lives. Let me read you a few headlines. Report to Congress on China's naval modernization. Wow, this looks really familiar. Yeah. It's all based on our technology. Another story by Ben Warner. Navy's grappling with the effects of suicide on the USS George Bush. If you didn't read or listen yesterday, the aircraft carrier Bush has had three suicides in the last week. The three sailors served in different departments. As of now, there does not appear to be any connection in their death. The Bush entered dry dock in February as part of a 28-month maintenance availability. Such work often brings new stressors to a crew that's grown accustomed to a particular work rhythm. Usually when a ship is in yard for an extended period of time, crew members are assigned jobs unrelated to what they're trained or joined the Navy to perform. Really, let me tell you, when a ship goes into dry dock, there's a lot of downtime. Holy shit, Ken Falk gets quoted. When sending additional counselors and support staff to help create a significant response, the entire Department of Defense must focus on enhancing the emotional intelligence of leaders, Ken Falk, a retired Master Chief and Chairman of the EOD Warrior Foundation, told USNI on Tuesday. Falk, who wrote an article for Proceedings about addressing suicide in the military, said the most common cause of suicide involved depression, substance abuse, and undiagnosed brain injuries. Commands can do a lot to treat depression and substance abuse if leadership understands the signs, he said. Quote, there is no emotional intelligence training in our leadership continuum in the military, Falk said. So until we increase the level of emotional intelligence for first-rate supervisors, whether we're at the LPO or CPO level, junior officer, senior officer, we're going to continue to fight these battles. The challenge for the crew is remaining focused on the mission. The opposite of suicide is teaching people how to live a good life, Falk said. Can you live a good life in dry dock? Yes. Interesting. Ken Falk in the news. Well done. Well done. over to Marine Corps Times, check out what's going on there, and then we'll do the top five, and then you'll hear John Kelly. The Secretary of Defense at Camp Lejeune yesterday. How about that? Yeah. Mark Esper toured Camp Lejeune. And parts of it that are still uninhabitable as a result of a Category 4 hurricane that barreled ashore last year. So he was out and around. Why did it take so long, Esper asked. The answers are complex, the article goes in. The first thing is you do want to do the route because you want to stop the water penetration. When you're stripping this down, did you check for, you mentioned asbestos, lead, paint, piping, Esper said. So anyway, he was at Camp Lejeune yesterday walking around checking things out. So that tends to be a good thing. You got his attention. That means hopefully you'll have the attention of the DOD. He's obviously, if he's devoting his time, he's obviously interested. Marine Corps Times has an article about the sergeant who was killed on sentry duty. Marine officials with knowledge of the investigation of his death did not release any additional information. Kara Diesel, his wife, said in an email to Marine Corps Times on Wednesday that despite any suspicious circumstances making the gunshot seem likely it was self-inflicted, she insists it was not suicide. We are still waiting on answers on what actually happened, Kara Diesel said in an email. My husband was an amazing man who impacted so many Marines, family, and friends, and we all miss him very much. So interesting. And then, I don't know if I've covered this story, but I should, if I haven't said anything about it. 13 Marines charged with offenses related to alleged human smuggling. I think I already did, so I'm not going to do this. It's been in the news for a while. The top five stories in Early Bird today are as follows. One, Trump attacks globalism and urges pressure on Iran at the UN. As I was getting ready to leave yesterday, I was watching Chris Wallace interview that Rouhani dude of Iran. He was at the UN. And, I mean, it is amazing when he sits there and talks about all this other stuff and then looks straight in the camera and says, yeah, I don't care who says Iran launched those missiles. We didn't launch those missiles. And you're sitting there like, whoa, the world's upside down now. I guess down is up, because that's the way Iran says it is. And so it was somewhat fascinating to watch, you know, the whole, you can have a deal, but the deal will look like this, and you are the destabilizing influence. It is not us. So, pretty amazing, pretty amazing to watch that stuff live, right? As he presses him and he just says, no, it didn't happen. The House, as everybody knows, House begins Trump impeachment inquiry over call to the Ukraine leader. Number three, a year after Hurricane Florence, Camp Lejeune is still working on housing repairs. So we talked about that. Number four, U.S. troops to Saudi Arabia stand by. The U.S. is figuring out a game plan to send troops to support Saudi Arabia following Iranian airstrikes on its oil fields, but how many, their capabilities, and where they will come from won't be announced until later this week, senior DOD official told reporters yesterday. So stand by. What capabilities, where they will go, blah, 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 blah. Number five, the IG complaint hits Trump decorated operators against a rear admiral who fired a SEAL team triad. So, this is a complaint filed Tuesday afternoon with the Department of Defense's IG blasts Rear Admiral Colin Green as a scheming puppet willing to trash the reputations of bona fide SEAL combat heroes to preserve his precarious perch atop naval special warfare. A 17-page, the 17 pages of detailed allegations by ex-SEAL Team 7 leader Commander Edward J. Manson and Master Chief Special Warfare Operator Hugh C. Spangler come in the wake of their September 6 firing by Green, whose command cited a loss of confidence that resulted from leadership failures that caused a breakdown of good order and discipline within two subordinate units while deployed in a combat zone. Also canned were Lieutenant Commander Luke Hong Il-M, the team's XO, but he did not put his name on Tuesday's filing. Stamped, and it gives the number. The complaint urges Pentagon investigators to polygraph Green and his top enlisted advisor, Force Master Chief, Master Petty Officer, SEAL, William A. King, to prove they tolerated a boozy culture overseas where liquor was banned from other military personnel. That's a fact. King also stands accused of stating that, quote, that any enlisted SEAL who played lawyer games by asserting rights provided under Navy regulations would summarily lose their SEAL tridents, according to the complaint. Now they're going to do it in public. This is awesome. Navy spokesman Rear Admiral Charles Brown told Navy Times that it would not be appropriate to discuss a complaint submitted for consideration and potential review by the Inspector General before adding, we take all allegations of misconduct seriously, and the IIG investigates all credible allegations. The complaint arrived at the IIG 2 days before the new Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Michael Gilday, is stated to visit Green's Naval Special Warfare Headquarters in Coronado. Not sure that has anything to do with anything. The filing asked Gilday to order a command climate survey regarding the leadership ability of Rear Admiral Green and Command Master Chief King, which will inevitably provide the additional compelling evidence to detach them from naval special warfare for cause. The IG complaint also asked that these SEALs be immediately reinstated at SEAL Team 7, which apparently remains without a command triad. I find that hard to believe. Next man up, right? Central to the IG complaint is the accusation that Green's duplicitous actions were done in an attempt to bolster his own reputation and protect his own career while a string of public scandals involving the SEALs played out. Then it go ahead. It goes ahead and lists all the different scandals. Gallagher's name peppers the complaint 17 times, alluding to concerns Green allegedly harbored about the special operator, a SEAL who captured the attention of President Trump. The complaint contends that Green, quote, has openly challenged the clear direction provided by the president, undermined the verdict rendered by, this is such a political document, I don't know why I would expect something different, but, right. And what they're begging for, really, is the president to get involved. In the aftermath of the Gallagher verdict, the complaint alleges, Green met with then-Chief of Naval Operation Admiral John Richardson in Washington, according to the complaint. The SEALs allege Richardson confronted Green about the state of naval special warfare, but allowed him to return to Coronado to carry out what became a back-to-the-basics initiative designed to anchor the teams to Navy standards for discipline, grooming, and accountability. In California, Green unleashed a toxic plan through his own series of meetings where he yelled at subordinates as he scrambled to save his career. Whipping him along was Richardson, who allegedly made multiple angry calls to Green to fix naval special warfare. This is like TMZ shit, putting immense pressure on him. During at least one of Green's sessions with subordinates, he allegedly admitted that one of the unlawful driving factors, in deciding to fire Commander Mason and Command Master Chief Spangler was that they had each already decided to retire with honor and dignity, according to the filing. Wow. This is like a whole pay-in-place thing. Holy shit. There you have it. If you want to know what kind of disarray, and this is what happens, when you become an undisciplined force, this is the kind of craziness that goes on. And I don't know if Green's the right guy or the wrong guy. Maybe you got to clean out the whole pipe. Maybe you got to get the pressure hose out and you got to turn the heat up to high as you can get it and you got to rinse the whole thing out. Because they're not afraid to burn it down. They're not afraid. They saw what Gallagher did. Everybody bands together. We'll all lie. And, you know, we'll be exonerated. Why not? Overseas operations headline. And then we'll take a break. Unsafe intercepts involving NATO aircraft have decreased and often are the result of hot-dogging pilots, according to a general. Well, you know, again, the most disturbing finding in the F-18 KC-130 event was that the F-18s were going to do an unconventional departure from the tanker, which means they were going to start on both sides of the 130, and then whether they turned on their afterburners or what, they were going to blaze out of there, which is not the way you normally do it. And what happened? He had an inexperienced pilot trying to do something he probably wasn't capable of doing at night. And because of that, six Marines are dead. How do you put an end to that? I don't know. You know, it's part of their culture. I'll tell you how you put an end to it. You end people's careers to do it. On August 8th, Canadian-American fighter jets intercepted two Russian nuclear-capable bombers off the coast of Alaska, which is a routine event, right? The two Russian Tu-95 Bear bombers were identified and intercepted by two F-22 and two F-18 fighters from Canada. They were supported by an E-3 Sentry, a KC-135 tanker, and a C-130, NORAD tweeted in early August. While alarming, NATO's Supreme Allied Commander Europe and Commander of U.S. European Command, U.S. Air Force General Todd Wolter, said unsafe intercepts between NATO and Russian aircraft have decreased over the past 2 years and are in most cases safe. When those intercepts are not safe, the NATO commander explained that it is usually the result of a pilot who's hot-dogging. Quote, what I can assure this audience is that well over 99% of the intercepts that occur in the air are usually safe. He said that on June 27th at the German Marshall Funds Brussels Forum. Quote, in many of the cases where they're unsafe, when you take a look at the experience level of the operators that were involved, it typically turns into a young man or woman that was probably just hot-dogging a little bit more than they should. A little bit more than they should. So, anyway, on the heels of the Marine Corps collision story, You know, you see it. How do you eliminate that? You know, not the easiest thing to do in the world. Okay. Because everybody's seen Top Gun, right? Everybody's seen Top Gun. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear John Kelly. Pretty interesting panel. It's not a panel. It's just him at the Coast Guard Academy. Something happened, I don't know, about 10 days ago. So don't touch that dial. You'll hear him next. Pretty interesting little interview. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Wednesday, hump day, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.